You all may not be aware, but if you're paying close attention to the episode numbers, you'll know that we recently passed 52 episodes. That's the 53rd.
That's right.
So that means we've been doing this shit for over a year.
That's right.
And you know what that also means?
Us,
as a small business, having made money thanks to our loyal and beautiful patrons, having made money and profited, have succeeded. Then more than 90% of small businesses.
If you are a small business owner listening right now, or you owned a small business that went under within the first year.
And you're a bad person.
And you're a bad person. We're better than you. We're literally better than you.
Plus ratio.
All the small business owners that we've debated on TikTok Live that were saying that we're not working hard enough.
Exactly.
We're saying that
leftists are lazy. Not working hard enough. Go start a business. See how it runs. Then you could really do it. Here we are.
Yeah.
Here, 1 year later.
That's right.
Top 10%, baby. I will ratio you with all the fucking dollars in our bank account.
Mm-hmm. We're closer to living the American dream that they speak of as socialist podcasters than they are.
That's
being
crazy.
Cucks to the system.
Over here talking shit every day.
Making money off the shit talking.
Ridiculous.
Exactly.
Ridiculous.
We're just better than them.
We are.
We're just better.
I can't fucking help it.
I'm just better. I deserve all of this.
I'm good. It's because I'm a good person.
That's right. That's right. Welcome back to Head in the Office, everybody. Welcome back to a very bad week of news, I'll admit.
Oh, awful. I go to Virginia for 10 days to go spend time with my mom, and the fucking world falls apart.
Yeah, but we're back in the stew now, which means that we can repair it.
Exactly.
We're in a position to fix all the problems in the world.
We can spread our kindness and laughter, because we're very kind the whole time.
Very nice.
And heal the world.
Yeah, exactly. Heal the world through comedy, of course.
Naturally.
Because we're comedians.
True.
But speaking of us being a small business, very successful, if you want to help out the show and get yourself a piece of Head in the Office merch, you can go do that right now.
You know exactly what
headintheoffice.com. Our merch is still for sale. Get in while supplies last.
And while we're on the topic, might as well continue to slut ourselves out a little bit.
For real.
If you're so inclined to support the show in other ways, like, I don't know, maybe getting episodes a couple days early on Sundays when we record, maybe go hit up the Patreon.
Getting a shout out, maybe.
For completely free, drop a 5-star review on Apple.
You can do that.
Maybe, you know, comment on the YouTube videos. Go in, hit our socials, the Instagram, the Twitter. You already follow the TikTok. It's Head in the Office everywhere.
Exactly.
Link in bios.
Speaking of Apple reviews, though, we got three to read today.
Three of them.
Three buckaroos that we need to read today. If you want to have your 5-star review read, go over to Apple. Even if you don't listen on Apple, go over to Apple Podcasts, leave a review. Helps us out. Get us into, I guess we're not new anymore.
Still get into the new and noteworthy no matter how old you are.
All right, hopefully there's not like a time restriction on that. But get us in there.
Please.
So we got a review here from Samantha McComb, subject line, much needed podcast. They say, great political podcast for those who, like myself, struggle to understand politics with all the misinformation that is out there.
That's what I'm saying.
That's what we sift through the misinformation.
I am the arbiter of truth.
We deliver you our own version of misinformation. You know exactly. What I'm saying? We've been lying this whole time. Second review here from, I think this is a keyboard smash, subject Excellent. Line, bringing laughter and love to politics. They say, come giggle with the fellas while they narrate our country's downfall in real time.
I love giggling.
I do honestly feel like that's kind of what we're doing.
That's
narrating
facts.
The country's
that's
downfall
facts.
In real time.
That's like, exactly what we do, covering the news, the worst news every week.
We started the podcast because things were already pretty bad, and we wanted to jump in on political discourse, you know, share our message, that kind of thing, but things certainly have gotten
worse. They've objectively just gotten worse in almost every metric, which is kind of crazy. And coming off a pandemic and things are worse.
We started off shitting on Joe Biden and things have only gotten worse. Last review here by Flicky570, subject line, can't get enough. They say, from finding you guys on TikTok and now being a weekly listener, I can't get enough of your content. I feel more engaged with this style of political discussion alongside bipartisan accountability and humor. My brothers in Christ, keep up the good work.
Equal rights and lefts for the right and left. You know what I'm saying?
That's right.
Wow.
We are bipartisan around here. We're right in the middle.
So, we're radical centrists,
honestly. Right in the middle,
Both sides are bad guys. I wish you'd understand that.
So, we got a whole lot to talk about today. We'll start off with some abortion news. Biden did an executive order that is noteworthy that we should talk about. We have some gun violence to cover. both on the hands of a mass shooter and also the police.
You already know. A little bit of police brutality.
Some crazy news out of nations other than the United States.
Insane.
Prime ministers.
Literally out of nowhere.
Out of nowhere. But we'll get to all that. So let's start off with the abortion news, I think.
Okay.
And just a reminder for anybody that is in need or interested, we're going to still have a bunch of links in our description for abortion resources.
Of course.
Things like state abortion funds, clinic finders, that kind of thing. Since Roe v. Wade's gone, depends on what state you live in. Depending on what state you live in, you may have different rights than other people, which is a fun thing about federalism.
Which is great.
But we'll have a bunch of links in the description. You can find your state abortion laws if you need to. So that's available. Also, in our link tree, feel free to share them. You know the deal. You know the deal.
You know exactly what to do.
Anyways, last Friday, Joe Biden finally took some action to protect abortion rights via executive order.
Wow.
And his executive order did a couple of things.
2 weeks later,
yeah.
They finally drafted something.
I don't know why they didn't have this day one. Or before, in preparation.
Yeah, because they had a month to prep.
Yeah.
The decision leaked.
But he did do something, which is good, better than doing nothing. A lot of it's through the HHS. So some things that the executive order does is expand access to medication abortions, so Plan B, C type stuff. Clarify physicians' responsibility to treat patients under various health acts, which we'll get to how that will work out. It enhances all forms of enhances access to all forms of contraception allowed by the ACA.
Excellent.
It protects patient privacy and important records. Specifically, has the FTC crack down on companies that take and share information about you searching for abortion related care.
Okay,
which is interesting. Specifically on this point, because I feel as though maybe we should have done something about data stealing a long time ago.
Maybe generally we should expand this beyond just abortion.
Yeah.
And just immediate infringements on your rights.
Yeah. It's almost every problem that we deal with could have been dealt with 20 years ago.
crazy.
And we're just deciding to kind of patchwork deal with it now. Anyways, the executive order also deploys some resources to mobile clinics that will be on state borders for out-of-state patients. Obviously, these clinics are probably only going to pop up in states that it isn't illegal to get an abortion.
Yeah.
Because, federalism, again. And it also does a couple other things. I think there's an education campaign, public awareness of reproductive health, that kind of thing.
Excellent.
So that's his executive order. Not bad, but we'll see how substantive it will actually be in practice.
I can't wait for the education campaign to just end up being, in the places that need it most, to just end up being abstinence-only sex ed, just rebranded. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's just going to be oh, guys, don't worry. You won't have to get an abortion if you just don't fuck at all.
Yeah, I can't really imagine what it's going to be, the education campaign, commercials, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
I don't really know what else it could be,
Yeah.
And I guess we'll see. But when Biden unveiled this, he was giving a speech, a press conference, I think originally talking about, something else. I don't remember what it was.
Okay.
But his speech was actually pretty good. The big point he made was that doctors are now put into a position where they have to hesitate to give patients care.
Yeah.
Because they aren't sure what their abortion laws are going to be like. They weren't sure if they'll go to jail, have their medical license revoked, that kind of thing, which could mean death for some people. Mm-hmm. If you have an ectopic pregnancy or if you have sepsis or any other complication with your pregnancy that needs to be dealt with immediately, doctors may not be sure if they can treat you, which is a bad thing.
That's a very bad thing.
Yeah.
Very bad thing.
Doctors should not be hesitating when it comes
in
to
life or death
care.
Situations.
Yeah.
That's kind of awful.
Yeah. Pretty bad thing. He also hammered home on the need to vote and elect more pro-choice candidates, which is the solution.
It's it's true, but I don't like it when he says it.
Yeah.
I like it when I say it. I don't like it when he says it.
Yeah. Because he is supposed to be the pro-choice candidate.
He's supposed to be the pro-choice candidate. He's routinely spitting these quotes in the media about how it's important to be pro-choice. We need to protect these things. We need to protect abortion access. As he silently pushes forward the nomination for a pro-life judge.
Yeah.
He's still doing that. He's still for that.
Uh-huh.
What the fuck?
I just saw a headline today that said he's still pushing forward with that, but quietly.
Yeah, he privately said that he's still going to do it.
All because he wants to deal with Mitch McConnell. That's really
that means anything. Uh-huh. Mitch McConnell's word means anything. I think it's just so funny that this these statements came as an afterthought in a speech that was originally about something else, because it seems like abortion has overall just been a complete afterthought in not only this administration, but every other Democratic administration, especially Obama's in 2013 or 2011 or 2013, when he had the supermajority for those 4 weeks where he literally could have done anything he wanted in Congress.
Yeah. I mean, I think back then there were still a lot of Democrats that weren't necessarily all pro-choice.
Yeah.
So I don't know how likely it would have been for Obama to do it, but he didn't really try.
No, he didn't try at all. As soon as he got the supermajorities, which I'll admit, it's kind of fucky, like, what happened. Like, it's weird how the timing worked out. He only had it for about 4 weeks. I don't give a shit. Democrats had 50 years to actually figure out a strategy to get a supermajority to fucking do something. And when they had it, he said, abortion isn't a priority right now.
Yeah.
We need to prioritize other things. Fuck off.
Yeah, and, like, I get it, you know, making policy decisions, having to prioritize certain things. He wanted to get the ACA through. But, like, come on. You know, like, we had so much time. You could have, like, there could have been so many executive orders before this that could have gone on to codify or at least protect abortion access, and we're getting it 2 weeks after now.
Exactly. You know, like, abortion is just an afterthought for Democrats. Yeah. Unless they can actively fundraise on it, it's an afterthought.
Yeah. Yeah. Not great. Not great, people. In Joe Biden's speech, he also shifted a lot of the blame to Republicans, which I thought was good. For anyone that watched the speech, I thought it was pretty good. And he also brought up the, I don't know if you saw this, but there's a 10-year-old girl in Ohio.
Oh, I did see that one.
That was a victim of a rape and impregnated, and she couldn't get an abortion in Ohio. She had to leave to go to Illinois.
Ohio is an awful fucking state, but I don't think anything good has come out of Ohio ever at this point. We've got two awful things coming out of Ohio this week for, like, the news, that and then a police brutality later that we'll talk about later on. But didn't the judge say something to the 10-year-old girl about how, like, she should think of it as a blessing?
Yeah.
That's
or
fucking
an opportunity,
insane.
Something like that.
Yeah, it's like an opportunity. That is fucking insane. Mm-hmm. You're an adult looking at a 10-year-old girl who's pregnant because she got raped. And that's what you're going to say to her?
Yeah.
What? That's a fifth grader.
Yeah, life was created. Therefore, your trauma and you being traumatized for the rest of your life is just okay.
Like,
and the
dog,
state should be able to force you to go through with that.
That's an elementary schooler. That's a fifth grader. Mm-hmm. She still takes spelling tests. Like, what the actual fuck? Like,
yeah. Absolutely insane. Joe Biden, so I'm going to, we're going to get into, like, a larger critique of the optics here in a second. But the way he did the speech, I thought was pretty good.
Okay.
I don't know that it's changing any hearts and minds, but the point here is that I don't think he can change hearts and minds literally at all right now, especially with his approval rating being in the shitter.
Yeah, his approval rating's in the shitter, and I just don't think you can reason with people when regards to abortion, because if somebody thinks abortion is murder, they're not going to, like, take any, like, leeway. They're not going to give you anything for that. They think it's murder. They want it completely gone. There's no reasoning with them. There's no compromise.
One of the biggest narrative, I don't know, shifts, or one of the biggest moves to pull the wool over everyone's eyes that the Republican Party has made in the last few decades is making it seem as though abortion isn't just a form of health care. Because it literally is.
Yeah.
For so many people that have complications with their pregnancies or have some other affliction that they can't deal with, or they can't go through their abortion, or they can't go through with their birth, abortion is just a medical necessity.
Yeah.
And seeing some states move to, like, make it so you can't get an abortion in any case is just gonna kill people.
And it's that in combination with all this talk about federalism that we see. We see, okay, abortion's not banned, it's just returning to the states, which is fine, because the idea behind federalism is that states, they have different needs, they have different demographics, therefore they should have different laws. That makes sense if you're talking about, I don't know, certain economic things.
Yeah.
Certain regulations should exist in certain states and not other places. You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
It makes sense for some things, but matters of human rights should not be up to a state to decide. Those should be universal and up to a bigger, larger federal government to make the states go through with them. Like, that's the point. Your argument doesn't work. Like, rights shouldn't be valued any differently. I believe abortion is a right, therefore I believe that you should have to fucking suck it up.
State borders, they're not real, people.
They're drawn on a map.
They're drawn on a map, and your human rights should not differentiate between depending on which state you're in.
Exactly.
They should be the same no matter what. And it's also worthy to note that a lot of these Republican conservative types are crying about states' rights, right? Saying that the issue returning to the states is just, it's states' rights. It's an ability for the people to be able to vote for the representatives that will then be able to decide what happens with abortion in their state. It's democracy, is what they say. If it's so democratic, and if that's what you want, why not just have it be automatically a state referendum on everyone's ballot this year?
Yeah.
At the end of the year, in November, why not have every single person vote on it in every single state?
Yeah,
if you're that interested in democracy.
Let's do a ballot measure.
The truth is that they actually don't care about democracy. They just know that Republicans control a lot of state legislatures in this country, and they will be able to enforce a lot of abortion bans. And I'll remind you, as soon as they get control of the federal government, they will ban abortion nationally. There's already Republicans calling for it. They believe it's murder. In their eyes, lives are being lost.
Exactly. They believe it's murder. So the difference between a first trimester abortion and a second trimester. It doesn't even fucking matter to mm-hmm. them. This is why you never give any leeway when you're talking to somebody about abortion and they say, oh, well, what about third trimester abortions? You never give them mm-hmm. any leeway and say, yeah, maybe those should be banned. Mm-hmm. Because you give an inch and they will take the whole entire mile with uh-huh. it. Because in their eyes, you can't give an inch and right. logically be able to defend it because the line is arbitrary. Uh-huh. Abortion should be available no matter what, forever. Uh-huh. Like...
Yeah, because the truth is, like, practically, third trimester abortions, those are only happening because of medical necessity.
They're 1% of all abortions. Exactly. It doesn't happen.
It's like, what, 93% of abortions happen in the first trimester. Mm-hmm. Like, the bringing up third trimester abortion, it just doesn't matter. It's a null point.
Oh, no, not at all. Completely it's just invalid. So that you can give them that itch and they can take the mile.
Yeah.
And also, like, with regards to state referendums, just quick update. In Michigan, the referendum, reproductive rights one, it got, I think, 760,000 signatures.
Something like that.
So that should be like getting on the ballot in
It'll
the fall?
It'll be on the ballot, yeah. Because I think the threshold in Michigan is like 400,000 something.
It's 400 like or 500,000, I think.
Somewhere in there. But either way, it's going to be on the ballot in Michigan. So we're going to talk about Kansas pretty soon, which also okay. has a ballot proposal coming up. A bunch of other states, I'm sure, will have petitions that will make it onto the ballot in mm-hmm. November. So keep your eye on that.
Exactly.
Keep
Go vote for those at the very least.
But I want to get into the optics here for Joe okay. Biden. Because he's struggling right now, he doesn't have much of a decision, or he doesn't have much power to impact the Supreme Court's decision. And I think it would be nice
okay.
for, and we've talked about this a little bit when we talked about AOC last episode, it would be nice for Biden to just be able to get out in front of these kinds of issues uh-huh. and at the very least just share our anger and our frustration, and our passion when it comes oh, yeah. to this stuff, because we haven't seen him do that so far with like anything.
It'd be great if they could just talk shit.
Yeah.
Like, plain and simple, uh-huh. if they would just get up there and talk shit like they should, that'd be great. Respectability yeah. politics is fucking stupid.
Yeah, and here's the truth of the matter, is that Donald Trump, as awful as he was, he changed uh-huh. how politicians are required to message.
Yes.
Like, he changed what a salient critique of our system is. Mm-hmm. He lied all the fucking time.
Oh, yeah.
None of his critiques were accurate, or at least most of them were mm-hmm. not. But the truth is that he... change the game, and it's not going to change back.
Yeah.
He was able to get his opinion out there literally immediately because of, you know, how fast he would tweet, how quick he'd get in front of the media, all that kind of stuff. And he was able to get his message out nonstop. And he yeah. would do that at breakneck speed to the point where we couldn't critique everything that he was saying.
Yeah, bro would gish gallop.
Yeah, Joe Biden needs to do something similar. I'm not saying he needs to, like, tweet like Donald Trump did, but he needs to get out there and stop letting the bureaucracy or the press corps or whatever slow down his response and share our anger and frustration about these issues. Because when you can't do anything policy-wise, when you can't actually pass legislation to codify Roe v. Wade, because yeah. that's just not going to happen right now, you need to be just as angry, and at every fucking turn, you need to be blaming Republicans, saying Republicans, conservatives in this country are taking your rights away. Mm-hmm. And this applies to every single Democrat, not just Joe Biden. The entire yeah. party should be screaming their head off about authoritarianism right
no,
now.
No, Donald Trump, he got up there and he talked shit.
Yeah.
That's why people fucking liked him, because uh-huh. he was saying what they're thinking. Mm-hmm. Like, that's it. Like, they just need to get on there and talk shit. All of the fucking Tea Party guys, they talk shit. All the MAGA people, they talk shit.
Yeah.
Like, that's what they do. That's what people want now, because it's how people feel.
And
everybody talks shit.
Like, I honestly think that a big thing hindering Joe Biden optically right now is that he keeps trying to tell people that things are getting better.
Yeah.
In every speech about, maybe it's just about the economy, but in just about every speech that I see, he's always telling people, like, employment rates are going up. Mm-hmm. People are feeling better. The economy even though there's, like, record inflation right now, the economy is doing well. Stop telling people that things are good.
Yeah.
Tell people, like, even though Joe Biden broadly is not to blame for a lot of the issues that are happening right now, whether it be inflation, because that's a global mm-hmm. issue, or gas prices, or the war in Europe, or whatever else it may be, he's not really to blame for a lot of this stuff. A lot of it is the Republicans blocking everything good from going through, like the yeah. baby formula bill or the gas price
gouging
bill.
That's why he needs to talk shit.
But like, Joe Biden, he needs to get up there and say, things are shit right now, a lot of people are struggling, and it's the fault of fucking Mitt Romney mm-hmm. for not helping us.
It's literally
it's the
their
fault of
fault.
Susan Collins. Vote God. Them out, because we need we
so
need
hard.
Republicans or Democrats that are going to get our agenda through so that people can actually feel safe, feel stable, yeah. feel comfortable in America.
But not the best thing that we fucking got for them with regards to abortion specifically is a couple shitty speeches by Biden
yeah.
that didn't do anything, and that one picture of Kamala, like, crossing her arms looking at the TV on mm-hmm. the plane, like, oh my God, I'm really watching this right
in
now.
In low res. It was like 420p or something.
Somebody took it on a fucking flip phone. Like, yeah. Kamala, ayo, pose real quick. We need to get this.
It was the White House BlackBerry that they get. Like,
no, it's like he thinks he can still restore the heart and soul of the nation.
Uh-huh.
Like, nobody cared about that. Uh-huh. They literally only voted for you because you're not Trump.
Yeah.
If anyone believed that, they lost the plot.
And that's the thing, is like, I just, at this point, I feel like sometimes Joe Biden will have like good retorts to things. It's very rare, but sometimes he'll do it. But I don't think he has the capacity to share the anger that so many people are feeling.
Oh, yeah, no, not at all.
Because a vast majority of this country, millions, hundreds of millions of people are against Roe v. Wade being overturned. Mm-hmm. Hundreds of millions of people. And if he could channel that anger and hold on to it and apply it to every other situation, whether it be the economy or inflation, gas prices, et cetera, then that would be a very salient and a very powerful political message for getting out the vote in August for a lot of primaries that are happening, or in November.
Yeah.
But he's not doing that. Instead, he's pushing forward a pro-life candidate judge. Like, bro, come on. Like, Biden's approval ratings are at Trump levels right now.
It's fucking
awful. He's at Trump level. He's like 38% approved.
And it's like just interesting when we look at like the landscape going forward too, and going into 2024. Did you see the shit that happened like with Elon Musk recently? Not the him not buying Twitter anymore, but Trump said like, oh, Elon voted for me. And then Elon said some shit like, actually, no, I didn't. And then he followed it up with, I didn't vote for Trump. I don't like him as a person, but Democrats need to stop attacking him. I feel like that signifies to me this larger push for someone like DeSantis in 2024.
Yeah,
I feel like the party is trying their hardest to move away from a Trump candidate and push forward somebody worse like DeSantis. Because fact of the matter is, DeSantis is worse.
A lot smarter,
he's
too.
He's way more competent than Trump was.
Yeah.
He knows how to do things privately and not super loudly.
Uh-huh.
And that's awful. And I feel like that's where we're going.
Yeah. DeSantis is smarter. He's more disciplined with the messaging
game. He's younger.
He's younger and he will inflict a lot more suffering on the people. He knows how to do it.
Yeah.
He knows how to do it. He was just better at a Republican messaging if he can capture the MAGA base. The truth is, I don't know what a good message is from DeSantis for why he should win over Donald Trump if Donald Trump was a rightful winner of 2020.
No, that's big
facts. I don't know how you defeat that kind of messaging. And I don't know how, if Donald Trump announces his candidacy, like, in a year, you will even make any kind of effort to say that, well, I should be the candidate instead of Donald
Trump. Yeah, no, that's fair. It's like, it's the MAGA base is so fucking unpredictable right now, too. Yeah. And it's like, what Trump's going to do is so unpredictable. But I feel like at least from the higher ups, like the fucking rich people, because obviously the rich people don't like Trump because he gives away the plot.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, they don't like that. They like to do their things in private. They like to do their things silently. They want the push to DeSantis. And that's awful.
Yeah.
That's horrible.
Yeah. I guess we'll see. I mean, next year will be pretty exciting.
DeSantis doesn't even, like, make funnies on accident, you know?
Bro's just evil.
He's unfunny.
Bro's just straight up evil, yeah. It's not great. Anyways, I can't help but think Joe Biden needs to just literally start calling them out by name.
Yeah.
Like, literally start saying people like Mitt Romney. Because, like, if you're not going to get them now, if you're not going to get them to vote for things like Build Back Better, because I saw that they're trying to do another push for that, if you're not going to get them to vote for things like codifying Roe v. Wade or the child tax credit, et cetera, start calling them out and saying, like, they are the ones causing your material suffering right now. Because that's what resonates with people.
Isn't that what the president is supposed to do? Isn't that the bully pulpit?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, when you can't get policy done, start talking your shit.
Facts.
Because that's what Donald Trump does.
God damn.
And that's why so many people gravitated towards him, because they felt as though he was making a material critique of their experience.
Mm-hmm.
He felt as though he was explaining, although he was lying to them for most of the time, he was explaining why they were suffering. He blamed it on things like, you know, black and brown people, immigrants, people coming into our country, taking your jobs away. But the real critique Joe Biden could be making, because he doesn't need to lie, he can just tell the truth, is that Republicans are preventing you from your material security. Republicans are preventing you from feeling as though you are comfortable from not having to live paycheck to paycheck.
And it's like the other thing with Trump is when something wasn't going to get done that he wanted to get done because of people in his own party, he'd talk shit about the people in his own party. He blasted them harder than he'd blast the Democrats.
Bro would come up with nicknames for Mitch McConnell.
Oh, yeah. And people would fucking hate them for the duration that Trump hated them.
Mm-hmm.
It's wild. Yeah. If Joe could have done that to Kyrsten Sinema and Joe Manchin, that'd have been crazy. If we could have got some Joe on Joe action, oh my God, I'd have been sick.
Yeah, no, like Donald Trump, he would start blasting someone like Mitch McConnell. And Mitch McConnell's never been popular.
Oh,
nobody's ever liked this
13%
guy.
13% approval rating in his own state.
I would see like Republicans saying like, yeah, fuck Mitch McConnell.
Mm-hmm.
Like he's a Republican. He's one Republican vote. So we support, you know, that element of Mitch McConnell. But yeah, fuck him because Donald Trump doesn't like him.
Mm-hmm.
Like that's what you got to start doing, big dog.
It's crazy.
I can't help but feel that liberals kind of suck in this moment. You know what
that's
I mean?
That's facts. That's why we're centrists.
That's right.
That's why we exist in the middle of both of these.
And some other abortion news, though. I mentioned Kansas earlier. Kansas has an upcoming referendum on August 2nd that will determine abortion access in their state. Currently, the Kansas state legislature isn't allowed to make any laws restricting abortion rights because their constitution protects bodily autonomy.
That's fire.
This was determined by the Kansas Supreme Court back in 2019. So any abortion bill that is passed by Republicans that control both state legislatures can't actually go into effect.
Rare Kansas dub.
Yeah, absolutely rare Kansas dub. On the ballot in August, though, is a proposed constitutional amendment that basically overturns that ruling or makes a carve out for
Common
that ruling.
Common Kansas L.
Yeah. So on the ballot is going to be an amendment that will say something along the lines of state representatives, state senators are allowed to make laws regarding abortion, but they don't really touch anything else about bodily autonomy. So it's like a carve out of that rule.
Okay.
And if this passes, then the state legislature will be empowered to ban abortions or restrict them to any capacity. So voters are going to decide.
It's literally right there on the ballot. That's crazy.
Yeah. And just to be clear, because this is a little confusing compared to some other ones, like the one in Michigan is just going to be like a constitutional amendment to protect abortion access like forever.
Yeah.
This one's a little bit confusing. A vote no means that the state legislature can't make laws restricting abortion. So vote no is the good one.
Oh, okay.
So it's confusing wording. You see what I mean?
Love that. I love that.
This is the first time in the post-Roe world that there's going to be a referendum of this kind being voted on. So it could be indicative of how other states are going to act.
That's
but again,
insane.
The confusing wording might throw some people off, is what I worry about.
Oh, that's so
also,
annoying.
It's happening in August, which is probably the primary date for them, rather than November. So it's going to be a lower turnout. We'll see how it goes.
God damn, bro.
I don't know how fired up people are in Kansas right now. So I guess
that's
we'll
true.
See.
That's
I guess
true.
We'll
you
see.
Don't really hear much about Kansas.
Yeah, the wording's pretty strange on the amendment. We'll see if it confuses some people. But other states, like I mentioned, have similar proposals. There's one in Michigan that's going to be in place. I'm sure there's ones in other states that's going to be in place. So even if you aren't excited to turn out to vote in the Democratic primaries, at least turn out for this.
Please vote for those ballot measures.
Yeah.
Please go.
Especially
and do
if
that.
They're in November, turn out and vote for those.
And especially in Michigan, considering that I'm pretty sure that's going to be the only thing that stands in between abortion access and no abortion access.
Yeah.
Considering right now there's that law from like the 30s.
Yeah.
30s
yeah.
that restricts abortion access that a judge has a hold on.
Yeah, there's that 1931 law that's currently in effect.
Yeah, that's currently
only,
in effect.
Only being blocked by like a temporary court injunction
uh-huh.
that if it goes back into effect, Michiganders are fucked.
Which it will go back into effect unless this referendum passes.
Yeah.
So please, if you live in Michigan, go out and vote.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's why my broader statement that I want to make to end this section on abortion is that I know a lot of things are bad right now. Mm-hmm. I've seen a lot of leftists, like, basically doomer posting
oh, yeah.
about abortion stuff. But the truth is that you can't tune out, especially mm-hmm. right now. Like, I know a lot of people are frustrated. A lot of people are angry at Democrats, and you should be. But if these ballot proposals that are going to be on the ballot are any indication, then there's still hope. There's still things that we can do. Too much is on the line. Too many people will get hurt if we don't act. So got to turn out to vote, even if you don't give a fuck about the Democratic Party.
Please.
Got to.
Please do. Like, got harm to. Reduction is important, because without harm reduction, things just get worse.
Uh-huh.
Explicitly and faster.
Yeah. And, I see a lot of people make the critique that if voting did anything, they wouldn't let you do it,
mm-hmm.
which I understand to an extent, because a lot of the time our votes don't actually go on to create new policies because, you know, Congress doesn't act in accordance to what we want. But it's a lot easier to help people and get through our socialist or get to our socialist utopia if the government isn't violently squashing us at every move.
And it's
every
like,
move.
I also just take issue with critiques like that. Like, oh, if it's going to hurt them, why would they let you do it? Because at the very core of it, there is at least some element that we do have power.
Yeah.
Like, at the ballot, we do have power to vote things in that we need to. They don't unilaterally just control you.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, there is shit like that. It's like how they say, why would they teach you the ideologies that would help overthrow them? It's
right.
like, obviously, they're not teaching those in school, but there are ways to learn them.
Mm-hmm.
There are inklings of it that still get through. You know what I mean? I just don't like that critique as much.
Yeah, and I mean, it's also that the general populace does have all of the power.
Exactly.
The only thing that holds us back is, one, the rules that we set up that we agree to,
mm-hmm.
and the people in power that attempt to tell us or attempt to tell us that we don't have any power or attempt to instill a sort of cynicism in us to get us to not turn out and vote. Sure, voting is not the most surefire way to get things done.
Absolutely
you
not.
You've
got to
do a
quick.
Whole lot of other things. Donate to abortion clinics, go volunteer, join DSA, do something, right?
Mm-hmm.
All of that is going to be helpful. But the true power does rely on every single person.
Exactly.
And if you want to get good things done, you gotta sometimes you just gotta do it yourself.
Like there are things that you can do. It's important to be involved in the electoral process because, like I said, if you're not, things just get worse way quicker, and they get way, way, way worse.
Yeah. Yeah. And also, I think to some extent, it is a privilege to be able to opt out of the voting process.
Oh, yeah.
Because what you're basically saying is that regardless of what happens, it won't impact you so harshly that you feel as though you need to vote.
Mm-hmm.
And I see this a lot among a lot of like white leftists, to be honest. Yeah. A lot of them saying that you shouldn't go out and vote because it doesn't actually do anything. It's a dehumanizing process.
Oh, yeah.
Potentially true, but that is an omission that you're going to be fine regardless of the outcome, mm-hmm. but other people will be hurt. Some exactly. people's lives do depend on these ballot proposals passing.
Like, quite literally, again, like, to talk about abortion, people don't have access to abortion because Trump won.
Yeah.
Like, that's why.
Yeah.
He got to appoint 3 Supreme Court justices. That's why things are materially bad right now. Mm-hmm. The voting in that instance mattered.
Uh-huh.
It does.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Limiting human suffering is very important. The Democrats suck, but the Republicans are actually evil.
Yes.
Like, they actually want you to die. So,
yes.
So it's important to not vote for them, or to get them voted out at the very least. Moving on to some more just bad news, though.
American news. Strictly American news.
Yeah, in a very American fashion, about a week ago, there was a mass shooting on July 4th during a July 4th Independence Day parade.
Crazy. Like, 2 of them, right?
Yeah. Well, yeah. I think one was at a fireworks display.
Oh, okay.
One of them was at an actual parade. And the one that we're going to talk about in depth is the one at the parade.
Chicago?
Yeah. Highland Park.
I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry to anyone who lives in the area.
Yeah. Highland Park, Illinois, during an Independence Day parade, as I said. The shooter was 21-year-old Robert Cremo. Yeah. 7 people were killed in the shooting, and 30-some were injured during the shooting. Basically, the gist of it is he had planned, premeditated the attack at least 2 weeks before, mm-hmm. stationed himself on top of a local building, climbed up the fire escape, and opened fire with an assault rifle.
Crazy.
So not very good at all. Not very good at all. This, of course, comes after recent gun reform legislation that passed in Congress that appears to have not been fully in effect. It's also worthy to note that Illinois does have red flag laws that weren't enforced at all.
That's like kind of the general issue with what we've seen with red flag laws. Same thing happened with, again, I'll mention the Parkland shooter.
Uh-huh.
He had red flags. The laws just weren't enforced.
Yeah.
Like,
same thing with the Buffalo shooter, too.
Yeah.
And that guy had a literal manifesto.
Thanks.
Yeah. Anyway, like I just said, red flag laws, they exist in Illinois. They weren't really enforced against him. The shooter had a couple of run-ins with the police previously.
Mm-hmm.
One where he had threatened to kill family members. And then another time when he had threatened suicide, you know, threatened to kill himself. And the police knew about this. It was documented. And he still was able to buy weapons.
Fucking insane.
Yeah.
Fucking I love how they can just choose to not enforce red flag laws.
Yeah.
Yet nobody can do that for things that are actually bad laws, like abortion.
Yeah.
All the abortion laws are going to have to be enforced. You know what I mean?
I mean, I've seen some, like, attorney generals, Democrat attorney generals, say that they're not going to enforce those laws, which is good.
Yeah.
But unless, like, governors, like, Democratic governors control the, unless there are Democrats in control of the governor position,
mm-hmm.
then these laws are going to be enforced. Like, it's not going to be up to local police stations.
Exactly.
It's not going to be up to police departments or detectives or anything like that. Like, all these laws are going to be enforced, and police are going to fall in line.
Crazy.
They're going to do it.
Crazy how they can just pick and choose, kind of.
Yeah, yeah. But with this situation specifically, I want to talk more about the optics and narrative of this situation, because obviously bad thing that happened.
Yeah.
But I think that there's a lot of discourse that is just fucking insane that has been happening around Highland Park. So the first point I want to make is I feel like our culture is at a point where instead of talking about solutions and how politics and policy is mixed in with atrocities like this,
mm-hmm.
all people can do at this point is just blame the other side and say that the shooter's ideology or their motives is like a condemnation of the other side of the aisle.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's where we are. Like,
oh, yeah.
Every single time the right is like, oh, my God, this was an Antifa transgender person that was doing the shooting. And every time liberals are like, oh, my God, this is a Trump supporter person that was at MAGA rallies that was doing the shooting.
Yeah.
Nobody actually talks about the solutions that need to happen. They only talk about how this looks bad for the other side.
Yeah.
And this, it's just fucking infuriating.
It's only politicized in, like, the worst way.
Yes.
The worst way it can be politicized.
Like, this politics is at the core of every mass shooting that happens.
Yes.
Every single time. Policy is always the issue we should be talking about. But people politicize it in a way that blames the other side, not for a lack of action.
Like, blames the other side.
Not for a lack of action, but because the shooter was somehow motivated by their ideology, which is fucking stupid.
Yeah.
Because this shooter specifically, he didn't really clearly have any political motive behind what he did. He wasn't like the Buffalo shooter and had a manifesto about how he's a white supremacist. Mm-hmm. He was just some guy who was clearly mentally ill, who there's some pictures of him like in Trump flags at Trump rallies. It's unclear if he was like a devout Trump supporter or anything like that. But it isn't clear that he had any really political motive. Or that he was really that closely following politics.
Especially if he was at a fucking 4th of July parade.
Yeah. Like, but wouldn't you know, the right is coming out here saying that he was like Antifa or a socialist and had a fucking like rose
purple
tattoo.
Hair and shit?
Well, that too, yeah.
Oh my God.
I've seen, there was like, immediately after this news broke, there were screenshots of an Instagram account that had like a bunch of anarchist posts that people said was him. Mm-hmm. Turns out that account was made like 3 hours after the shooting went off. And
what
then there was
the
another
fuck?
Post of somebody saying that he had a tattoo of like one of the DSA logos of like the fist holding the rose.
Uh-huh.
And then if you just Google, socialist rose tattoo, it's like the third thing that comes up. So people are just fucking lying.
That's crazy.
Like, what's the point? What, like, we've gotten to a point where we are so just politically inept that all we can talk about is, wow, this looks really bad for the right, or wow, this looks really bad for the left, instead of talking about how, like, if we don't control guns in this country, people are gonna die.
It's like that, and it's also just the weird fucking need to defend someone who does an atrocious act when you think they're on your side. You know what I mean? You see it way more on the right, obviously, because they do way more bad things.
Uh-huh.
But still, it's like, it's somewhat there for everybody, but it's just, it's so fucking weird.
Mm-hmm.
It's so fucking weird.
Yeah, and I feel like this stems from our just complete hopelessness when it comes to actually regulating guns, or really anything for that matter, when it comes to any making any kind of positive political change. So many people feel so hopeless that they don't even bother to talk about solutions anymore.
Yeah.
They don't even bother talking about like what can be done to improve this situation or make it so this doesn't happen again in the future. All they can talk about is like, wow, this looks really bad for the fucking liberals in Congress right now.
Mm-hmm.
This guy was a fucking blue and pink hair SJW. It's like, shut the fuck up. Like, dog, you're not even trying. And I know this is true because you remember Darren Bailey? We've talked about him a couple times. He dropped a video like an hour after the shooting popped off.
That's
for his campaign.
Insane.
Talking about like, wow, there's another horrible shooting. We need to do something about this. Like, and he's not proposing any solutions. He's just fucking making a political
Darren
message.
Bailey, bro's a conservative too.
Yeah.
What the fuck do you want to do about this?
Right.
You actively want to make it easier for people to get guns in Illinois.
Yeah.
Shut the fuck up.
Yeah. And of course, conservatives, mainstream conservatives, like on, you know, the news pundits have been losing their minds about this fucking issue. Laura Ingraham specifically did the reefer panic again.
Oh, and we love that.
That this is the fault of marijuana. This kid was an avid weed user.
Oh, my God.
And that's why he did the shooting.
Weed a depressant.
Yeah, because, you know, weed is known to make people very violent.
I get so angry when I smoke weed. I definitely don't chill and listen to Lana Del Rey. Like,
yeah, as we already said, a lot of people are saying that this dude had pink and blue hair. Therefore, that's evidence that he's, you know, some crazy leftist.
He's a communist.
Notoriously, Marjorie Taylor Greene posted a very clearly photoshopped image of this dude reading a book in jail.
That shit was so funny.
Yeah.
Oh my God. The lighting, not even fucking close. It's like green light. There's like a green hue to everything in the background of the prison cell. And then he's just sitting there in like bright yellow light.
Uh-huh.
With like, was it a Bible?
Something like that. What, I don't know. Like very clearly just posting misinformation and then saying that this kid was somehow a leftist.
And she's got power.
Yeah. No, yeah,
got
like she
power.
Has institutional power. Like that is fucking insane. And then you had the Ben Shapiro take just saying don't politicize it. Like basically saying that we need to just fucking ignore it when these things happen.
Yeah.
Like I've, for some reason.
We need to ignore it because they're mental health issues.
Right. For some reason, I've seen so many conservatives on the news talking about how we need to just stop talking about this.
Maybe like, they feel like they're losing. Maybe they feel like they're starting to lose. I wish.
Maybe. But you know the Five on Fox News?
I fucking, yes.
One of the fucking dudes on there was just going off about how the media just needs to stop talking
was
about
mass shootings.
Was it
Jesse Waters? Dude,
I think so.
Dude always has the fucking worst takes no matter what it is.
It might have been Gutfield. I don't know.
Oh, he's so unfunny.
Yeah, they were just talking about how we just need to like stop talking about it because it's not doing anything to help. It's like my brother in Christ, these happen so often that the media can't ignore it.
Yeah.
Like, this is a recurring thing. This is an American problem.
Like,
what do you expect them to
do? Holy shit, like, what is it, 4 high-profile mass shootings in the last 2 months?
Yeah.
Like, that's crazy.
Yeah.
That's absolutely insane.
Yeah, yeah. And here's my bigger critique to all of this, though. because the one of the main narratives that I've been seeing is a lot of conservatives are saying that this shooting is happening because of the isolation and the mental health issues that are afflicting white people. And those white people are feeling this way because society keeps telling them that they're bad. Society keeps telling them that they're privileged. That's the fucking narrative that I've seen.
That shit is so fucking psychotic.
Yes.
If you think that, some people who think that are just dumb.
Yes.
There's no fucking saving you. Because ironically, that type of rhetoric from the right is what's making the problem that they're talking about worse, mm-hmm. while also making the actual problem, the mass shooting problem, way worse. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Because mm-hmm. when people talk about white man bad, right, it's often with regards to, at best, them being ignorant of racial, gender, or class issues, or at worst, how just fucking blatantly racist they are.
Well, that and, like, benefiting from the structures that they claim don't exist.
Exactly, yeah. exactly. And then how that exacerbates those issues that yeah. often have predated them.
Right.
You know what I mean? And that manifests in bad outcomes for marginalized communities. That's a good reason to critique white people,
yes.
like, as just, like, a blanket thing that is a good critique to make, especially white people being the dominant power structure, white men specifically.
And
you
it's
know
not
what I
even,
mean?
It's not even, like, a critique of white people as individuals. It's a critique of how whiteness is used as a purity test to justify oppression.
Yeah.
And oppression of minority groups.
There's, like, 10 people on Twitter that criticize white people individually, but nobody yeah. seriously takes them seriously.
And everyone makes fun of them when it happens.
No, for real,
like, I make fun of
the,
them.
The fucking Anne Frank had white privilege crowd. Come on now.
Like, that shit is hilarious.
Everybody is making fun of them because it's like three people arguing on Twitter.
Oh my goodness.
Like, no one is taking this seriously except for right-wing pundits.
Yeah.
And then when they do take those things seriously, they're just emboldening people who were called bigots on Twitter for being bigots on Twitter
uh-huh.
and validating their feelings and then telling them, no, actually, society fucking hates you.
Mm-hmm.
Society hates you. You're the real victim here. And then they go and go further right. And do actually bad shit.
And do, like, mass shootings, yeah.
Do mass shootings, kill people, literally do bad things. And then it makes people like us call them out more because they're doing more bad things.
Yeah.
And then the right says, look, look at what they're doing. They're doing the thing. They're doing the white people bad.
Uh-huh.
It's a vicious cycle that only ends in more white supremacy.
Yeah, yeah. And, like, they say all of this. They say that white people, you're the real victims. White young men, you're losing your place in society, while simultaneously blocking every good reform or advocating against every good reform that would go to reduce feelings of isolation for everybody.
Yeah.
Things like free healthcare, things like free college, along with investing in gun reform and mental health reform, yeah. mental health investment.
Mental health
all
infrastructure
of these things
and shit like that.
Would help people feel less isolated, would yeah. help people feel less alone, but they're against all of those things. Conservatives yeah. are telling white people that, no, you're the one that's oppressed. You're the one that's being kept from power. And that's why you feel isolated, while uh-huh. blocking every solution that would go to alleviate that isolation.
They don't want to make it easier to get mental health care.
Yeah.
That shit is annoying. It's so annoying trying to get a therapist, especially with real shit. I was going to therapy like 2 years ago, right? Mm-hmm. I started going back again like a year ago. And then I get a couple sessions in. I get in the groove of things, right? My therapist fucking dropped me because she Damn. Didn't want to take TRICARE anymore. She didn't take my insurance, and I couldn't pay for that shit out of pocket.
That's fucking ridiculous.
So I just had to stop fucking going.
Yeah.
Like, it's not easy. It's not a convenient process for you. You also got to pay. Therapists never have a sale.
Yeah.
Like, that yeah. shit never goes on sale.
Exactly.
There's nothing you can do.
Yeah, and there's something especially alienating about having to pay for things when you're in a time of crisis.
No,
like,
literally.
I specifically think of, like, funerals.
Yeah.
Like, when you have a family member that dies, you're in deep mourning if you were close to them. You're struggling a lot. You're trying to focus on being around your family, supporting them, and then you're slapped with, like, a $10,000 bill.
Mm-hmm.
Like, are you fucking serious?
Mm-hmm.
The last thing you should be thinking about when you are mentally in panic mode or in crisis mode is spending money.
No, literally.
About how can I afford this? Like, that is, it's so alienating and just depriving of humanity for us yeah. to do that to each other.
And it's like, also with regards to therapy, don't get me wrong, therapy is a very good thing.
Yeah,
everyone
yeah, yeah.
should be able to get therapy.
Should be
but
free.
That's just not the, like, fact of the matter.
Uh-huh.
People can't do it. Because here, when you're depressed because you don't have enough fucking money, it's kind of hard to set aside an extra $100 a week or whatever the fuck to get a therapist
yeah.
that's going to take, like, a long time, frankly, to help you get out of that depression, because these things are hard to get out of.
It takes
a
long time.
It's hard. It takes a lot of work. And you have to go through that additional work. You have to fucking open up and talk about those yeah. issues, which can be hard for a lot of people, and you have to set extra money aside that you don't fucking have,
mm-hmm.
that's ridiculous.
And a lot of the time, the people that need it the most don't have the extra money to spend.
Exactly.
They're working all the time. They don't have time during the week to actually set therapy appointments. And at the end of the week, when their paycheck hits, they don't really have the money to pay for it at all.
Or fucking they get home from a long, long, hard 12-hour day doing manual fucking labor. The last thing they want to do is go to a fucking therapist's office. Mm-hmm. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You should want to. You should, because it's good for your mental health.
Yeah.
But it's hard to do that.
And, like, beyond that, conservatives don't even understand that critique of our mental health infrastructure.
Yeah.
All they can think about is, like, white people are being told that they have white privilege. Therefore, that's why they're oppressed and that's why they're doing shootings. There is not an iota of evidence that would suggest that white people are being oppressed in this country.
Yeah.
There's not a shred of evidence that will ever indicate that white people have ever been oppressed or are currently being oppressed in our society. It is true that mass shootings are disproportionately white people in this country.
Yes.
White men, specifically. Yes. But that happens for a few reasons. Number one, it's too easy to get a gun in the United States.
Absolutely.
This is solely an American problem. We've known this for a very long time. And number two, mental health is not prioritized, as we've already been talking about. Those two things together explain why we have so many mass shootings. But for why it is white men specifically, in my opinion, a lot of white men grow up being taught that, whether implicitly or explicitly, that this country and its institutions are built for them.
Yeah.
It is. We're almost programmed with a sense of entitlement that this country and its institutions are for you.
Mm-hmm.
The power that this country can offer is for you. I mean, think about it. At the beginning of our country, only white men could vote.
Yeah.
Mostly every single president has been a white man. Almost all of Congress has been white men.
Mm-hmm.
Almost every institution in our country has been set up to benefit and has been ran by white men. It is an entitlement to power that white men are almost baked. White men are almost grown up learning about.
Yeah.
And it's a result of our country being based on white supremacy and white men being told that they're the real victims of society.
No, absolutely. Because that's exactly what it is. It's people on these fucking 4chan boards that radicalize people. It's people at skinhead yeah. bars that are like, look at all these things being taken away from you.
Right.
Look at all these immigrants coming and taking your jobs and doing bad
yeah.
things. It's them lying. It's right-wing pundits. It's Tucker Carlson being the loudest majority instead of the silent yeah. minority with the number one syndicated cable news show in the fucking country, telling all of these disaffected white people that actually look at all these things that are being taken away from you.
Mm-hmm.
Look at all of this. They are threatening your very existence. You need to do something.
Yeah.
And then they go and do it.
Yeah. And you couple this with toxic masculinity, which is just pervasive throughout our entire mm-hmm. society. You know, the idea that you always got to be tough. You can never show emotion. You always got to be stronger than other people.
Yeah.
And then, of course, social media and the internet accelerate these feelings all the time. And you have a recipe for a bunch of white men that are angry and want to do mass shootings.
Yeah.
It's not because white men are being oppressed. It's because we are just allowing ourselves to radicalize each other in the absolutely wrong way.
And because it's so easy to fall down things like the fucking alt-right pipeline.
Yeah.
You watch a Call of Duty video by NoahJ456, then you watch a fucking PewDiePie video, then all of a sudden you're getting recommended Change My Mind videos,
yeah.
and then you're 14, so you don't know how to snap out of it.
And then suddenly you're in an incel community that says you need to go and kill others and yourself.
Exactly. You were raised, at least when we're talking about people our age, you were raised by a generation, Gen X, that isn't that tech savvy, doesn't really know what their kids uh-huh. are doing on the internet, doesn't know how to like effectively monitor it without being weirdly controlling.
Yeah.
And so you pretty much have free reign over all this. Then, bam, you're ending up on shit like LiveLeak, being desensitized to any sort of thing ever,
yeah.
having no empathy. Then you're on 4chan and you're a fucking Nazi.
Yeah.
Like.
Yeah, yeah. And it's important to note that when conservatives, specifically like Tucker Carlson, are talking about white people being victims, white people being the ones that are oppressed in society,
yeah.
rather than, you know, actual people being shot and killed in mass shootings, they are explicitly robbing all accountability of the situation. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
They are basically abdicating any moral responsibility that the white shooter would have in this situation by making them the victim.
Mm-hmm.
This isn't something that they would do for a black shooter. In fact, we know
yeah.
this because back when there was that shooter in New York City, remember on the train station, they threw a smoke bomb and
yep.
started shooting people. It was a black guy. They didn't do this for him.
Oh, yeah.
But for white shooters, they do. They say they are the real victims. They're being mistreated. They're being raised only by women as if somehow it's women's fault that a bunch
yeah,
of men are
no,
doing
it's
mass
shootings. It's because they were born out of wedlock.
Right. Like, they are basically carving out, they're taking all accountability from who should actually be held accountable in these situations.
Yeah.
They are making it so white people can be the true victims and dodge all responsibility for what's happening.
Mm-hmm.
I love that.
I love it. I love it so much. I love it so much. And then if we're like even just to take it deeper and expand a little bit into broader cultural critiques, you always see like conservatives are the ones talking about how, oh, like literature programs in school, like what the fuck are those for? And then we wonder why people have no fucking media literacy.
Yeah.
We wonder why conservatives have no fucking media literacy.
Right.
Because they're told their entire life, oh, that shit doesn't matter. And it's like, I'm thinking of it because all the boys discourse right now. You know what I mean? We got into a little bit on Twitter. They don't understand that they're being made fun of, right-wing fans of the Boys, if you watch the show.
Yeah.
They don't get that this is all a satire on corporations and corporate greed and capitalism.
Uh-huh.
And conservatism and a little bit of woke pandering, which is ultimately a right-wing critique. Mm-hmm. Like, no matter how you spin it, that ends up being a right-wing critique. They have no fucking media literacy. And we wonder why.
I'm so fucking sick. And I can't help but note the irony here that you hear, you remember the critique back when Black Lives Matter was popping off. Everyone was talking about systemic racism.
Yeah.
And the conservatives came out with this genius idea that actually systemic racism doesn't exist. And the problems that black people are facing in this country can be explained by white people consistently telling them that they're being oppressed.
Yeah.
They do the same fucking thing, but the other way around. They tell us, stop telling people, black people, that they're being oppressed because it prevents them from succeeding. It gives them like a loser mindset.
You're turning them into victims. And then you're giving them a victim mentality.
They're on the most popular news broadcast in the fucking country saying that white people are being oppressed and it's women's fault.
Yeah.
Like, what the fuck? What are you talking about? Ridiculous. Anyways, the solution here is not to blame minority groups or individual minority voices. The solution is gun reform.
Absolutely.
Mental health investments, education, and ultimately reducing poverty, because poverty causes a lot of crime that we see in this country. The idea, and I want to make this very explicit, very clear, the idea that the majority hegemonic group is under threat is very dangerous.
That shit is stupid.
It is a incredibly dangerous idea. It is something that circles around fascist groups all the time, because you have to, in order to get people to move on something, you have to somehow convey that there is a reason to move.
Yeah.
And if the reason in their minds is that you're literally being replaced, is that white people are being oppressed in this country, that justifies anything.
It
gives you a moral license to do anything. And that is a dangerous idea.
Yeah.
And it's not backed up by any fact, because you may say, oh, well, people like you will say that black people are being oppressed in this country, that systemic racism exists. Mm-hmm. Yes, I do say that, because one, that is empirically factual. And also, I'm not advocating for anyone to do anything violent. I'm saying that we can pass common sense reforms to alleviate that kind of systemic oppression. These people are not advocating for systemic reforms. They're advocating for minority groups to be oppressed. Mm-hmm. They're advocating to silence trans voices, to silence black voices, to silence women, to make them feel worse, to put women back into a position to where they're considered property.
Yeah.
That's what they advocate for. But we are advocating for actual policy solutions that would improve everybody's life, not just the life of minority groups.
Actively deny empiricism in doing so. And the most like evil part of this is that, I guess the evil and sad part of all this is that the feelings that these white kids have are real.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And it's these right-wing pundits that are taking those feelings and fucking twisting them and molding them.
Yeah.
And vindicating them in the most awful ways possible.
Yeah.
That shit is evil.
And in a sense, everybody that isn't in a position of power is a victim of the system that we live under.
Yeah.
In a sense, everybody is being manipulated by the people that either they choose to believe in or by the people they have no choice but to listen to.
Mm-hmm.
But the truth is that the reason that so many shootings are happening is because we refuse to act on gun reform, and you have fucking psychos like Tucker Carlson telling white people that they're being oppressed.
Yeah.
And a bunch of incel communities proliferating, telling people that they're being oppressed, and also you should probably kill your family.
Like, literally
insane.
You're being repressed and women fucking hate you and all this.
And I feel like at the core of this is this idea that if we extend human rights, civil rights to other groups, that somehow detracts from the majority group, detracts from what the majority group can do. But having rights isn't a zero sum game.
Yeah.
It's not something that we need to like make trade-offs for. Everybody can enjoy rights. And the idea that if other people get rights, you lose rights isn't one of freedom. It is the idea that you want to dominate other people.
Oh, no, literally. It's the, the MLK quote, equality feels like oppression to the oppressors.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Yes. They feel like they're having freedoms taken away just because other people can do the things that they can now do.
Right. I mean, and it's like affirmative action is the one they like to point to all the time of like white people being oppressed. But affirmative action as an institution has benefited white women the most.
Oh yeah, it is empirically,
and like that's not a bad thing. It's good that white women are able to go to college because historically women in general have not been able to get an education to the same extent that men have been. But it is a good thing if we can have more groups participate in the education system, because then it leads to more equal, more free outcomes for everybody. And this idea that somehow other people succeeding, other people having more rights is bad for you as an individual is pretty fashy. It's insane.
It's baffling. Yes. Asinine, if you will. And it's like, speaking of affirmative action, quick little side note, isn't there a case that's going up in the Supreme Court next session about affirmative action?
Yeah, I think so.
Fucking crazy, bro. Literally just undoing everything.
We covered it a while ago. Fucking, it's that one right-wing psycho, Edward Blum, who also is the reason that the Voting Rights Act was gutted in the Supreme Court, back in 2014 or something like that.
You'd love to see it.
But yeah, there's a challenge to affirmative action going up because there was some school where I think it was like...
They're arguing that an Asian was discriminated against.
Yeah, something like that. But of course, that's just a proxy for like white people can't get into these schools.
Absolutely, yeah. Because it's a proxy for white people getting into schools, and it's also a way that they can pit more minorities against each other.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is just insane.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, talking about insane takes, though. Okay. Last take that I have on this is from Marjorie Taylor Greene. Did you see her video?
No.
Okay. Marjorie Taylor Greene had a take that she posted on Twitter. I think she has some kind of podcast thing that she does on the side. Ted Cruz also has something similar. Have you seen those, The Verdict with Ted Cruz?
No.
We have to start covering that.
What?
But Marjorie Taylor Greene, on her little show thing that she does and posts on Twitter occasionally, she said, quote, two shootings on July 4th, one in a rich white neighborhood and the other at a fireworks display. It almost sounds like they were designed to make Republicans go along with more gun control. We didn't see that at all. The pride parades in the month of June.
It's a psyop.
Yeah, she did the psyop. She did the Alex Jones. Except we literally almost did see extreme violence.
We stopped it actively. We stopped Proud Boys? No, not Proud Boys.
National Front or something like that?
Patriot Front. Patriot Front. It was Patriot Front. We actively stopped bad things from happening at Pride Parades. That's fucking insane.
Dog, and it's like, why are you mad that mass shootings didn't happen at the you know what I mean? She's mad that more people weren't killed in mass shootings.
There's so many layers.
Yeah.
I wonder what it would take to get us on Marjorie Taylor Greene's show.
Uh-huh. And she also went on to literally say the Alex Jones quote that it's like, well, what is a right wing conspiracy theory if not just the news 6 months before it breaks? She did the Alex Jones.
Holy shit.
It's just fucking insane.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
Goddamn. Yeah. I think it's cringy when some leftists do the psyop thing.
Yeah.
Even worse when conservatives do it. That's wild.
I mean, the Brett Kavanaugh assassination attempt was a psyop.
I will stand by that 100%.
Maybe
there's no way that that will ever make sense to me.
But yeah, Marjorie Taylor Greene, absolutely fucking insane.
Facts.
That's another mass shooting in America's history book. So very happy.
Very
glad that we just can't do fucking anything about it.
Oh my. Speaking of things we can't do anything about, trigger warning, police brutality.
Yeah.
Because Jalen Walker was basically just fucking executed in Akron, Ohio. And I'll give you the quick rundown of the basic situation. I'm sure you've all seen coverage of it. We'll focus on what we felt. You already know how we do.
You guys know how we do this.
Exactly. So
we've covered many police killings of black people, unfortunately.
Yeah, unfortunately.
Because it happens once every 2 months.
Oh, no, literally. Pretty much every 2 weeks, basically.
Well, I mean, it happens.
Some pop off nationally.
It happens all the time, but nationally, there's always a case that we have to talk about,
Because they're somehow just so egregious and so much worse than the one before it.
Yeah.
This one that we're going to talk about. So basically, cops attempted to pull over Jalen Walker for routine traffic stop shit, and he tried to drive away. So while he drove away, cops decided to start chasing him, and the cops saw a flash come from the driver's side of the car, of Jalen's car, and a sound that was consistent with a gunshot that you could hear on the cop's body cam.
Okay.
Because there's no fucking dash cams for Akron police.
Oh, good.
Which
That's really
is
good.
Insane to think about. Why?
Nice.
What good could... Why?
Well, because if...
because they're being defunded, so they had to get rid of the dash cams.
We shouldn't be oppressing police, you know what I mean?
Oh, my God, brother.
That's a protected minority class.
These colors don't run, you know what I'm saying?
We have protected groups racial minorities, LGBTQ, ethnic minorities, that kind of thing. Police should be in there, too. They should be protected class.
Yeah. Oh, my God, bro. They didn't choose this life.
They're being... Yeah, exactly.
Chose them, you know?
Lives.
Blue lives are real.
They were called to the... Anyway.
anyway. So he's driving away. They start engaging in like this highway chase. And okay. cops pursue him for a minute until he ditched his car and started running away on foot. Eight cops decided to chase after this guy. And they tried and failed to stop him with tasers. And eventually, while running away, he, quote, reached for his waistband.
Okay.
I'm sure you know what fucking happened after that. After he reached for his waistband, probably most likely to pull up his fucking pants while he's running, these eight cops mag dumped, and he was, well, he wasn't shot 60 times, but he was found with 60 wounds on his body, which he was shot so many times that they have not been able to determine what is an exit and what is an entry wound.
Holy shit.
So that's crazy. And after he was shot and lying dead on the fucking ground, they went up and tried to handcuff him.
Oh my God, dog.
So that's just brutal. That is just fucking insane in of itself. But the part that I really want to focus on with regards to this shooting specifically is the part about the gunshot coming out of his car window. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Because that's what a lot of people are focusing on and saying, oh, well, that kind of gives cops reason to believe that he was armed.
60 bullets, though?
And to that dog. I say... I don't think the shot out of his window fucking matters. Mm-mm. I honestly don't, because we've seen time and time again that anytime a black man does the crime of reaching for his waistband with an altercation with police, that is a death sentence. Uh-huh. That is a reliable death sentence in this uh-huh. country. The gunshot doesn't matter. This would have happened anyway. We saw it in 2014, very notably, not even a racial thing, with Daniel Shaver. Mm-hmm. Do you know about that one?
I don't.
Daniel Shaver was in a hotel room, and he had like a hunting rifle that he was cleaning in his hotel room because he was going hunting. Mm-hmm. Somebody saw it from like the parking lot, called the cops. Cops pulled up on him with ARs, yelled at him to get in the hallway, made him fucking get on the ground and crawl to him. As he was crawling, his pants fell down and he went to pull up his pants and he was just gunned down.
Yeah.
Fucking murdered right there. Similar situation, right?
And, like, a bunch of fucking people will always be like, well, then you shouldn't go to pull up your pants. Like, how is it your fault if you're just
fucking
executed?
Yeah, no, it's a reflex too. Yeah. Like, you don't consciously ever fucking pull up your pants.
Uh-huh.
You kind of just do it, especially when your heart is filled with fucking adrenaline while you're running from eight cops. What?
Yeah.
Like, as a black man in America, like, that in of itself is a crime.
Uh-huh.
Running? Like, you can't do that.
Yeah.
It's insane. I don't think the gunshot matters because I think this would have happened anyway.
Yeah.
So I don't care to fucking focus on the gunshot. Also, notably, while he exited his car, afterwards they found he was unarmed. He had nothing on his person.
Wow.
And he actually left the gun that maybe discharged in his car, probably discharged in his car while he was being chased. He left it on the driver's side seat with the mag taken out.
Yeah.
So, like, that's crazy. That doesn't just happen out of nowhere on accident.
Jesus fucking Christ. And it's like a lot of people will argue that if the cops did think that he was armed and going to pull a gun, then aren't they justified in doing this? No.
No.
Like, defensive maneuvers. Like, don't fucking execute this guy. He's one person, and you are eight cops running after him. He's not going to—if he has a handgun, he's not going to shoot all of you.
And it's also, like—
Fucking take cover. It's not worth fucking executing somebody.
A quick callback to the many mass shootings that we've had this year.
Mm-hmm.
All of them were apprehended safely.
Yes, yes.
They all had guns on them,
uh-huh.
on their person, explicitly.
And they killed people.
Way bigger guns, and they just went and murdered tens of people.
Yeah.
Yet cops can apprehend them perfectly fine. The New York City subway shooter.
Mm-hmm.
He was armed and at large forever. He eventually called the cops on himself, and they got him at a McDonald's.
Mm-hmm.
Cops can deal with these situations when people are armed. You wait to engage.
Mm-hmm.
You wait to engage.
Yeah, and it's like, when it comes to the other mass shooters that have, usually white people, and they get apprehended, that is how the system is supposed to work.
Exactly. No, I'm not saying they should just get gunned down.
But we point out that distinction because due process is a very important thing in a democracy. Mm-hmm. And if one racial group is disproportionately just being executed and not getting due process, there's a problem there. Due process is very important when we're talking about the violence that the state can wreak on your lives. And if we are not able to give everyone the chance to have due process, then we aren't really living in a free society.
Absolutely.
Because the mass shooters, whether they be in schools or going to grocery stores like the one in Buffalo or whatever it may be, they will be punished to the full extent of the law. And that is exactly how it's supposed to be. They will get their day in court. They will be allowed to defend their actions, although they're indefensible.
Uh-huh.
But they will be given that. Because that is how our system is supposed to work.
That's how
this
a just guy, society should run.
Who was running away from the police, and it doesn't matter why.
Yeah.
This guy who was running away from the police, refused to comply, will never get to have that freedom.
Absolutely
will never get
not.
To have that opportunity. He
Absolutely
never gets
not.
To have due process now. And somehow we can still call ourselves a democracy, a free society.
It's fucking insane. It's fucking insane. For reaching for your waistband.
Yeah.
You just can't in an altercation with cops. You just can't do that.
Yeah.
And it's like, I want to get into another just like overall critique I have of the situation, because this never should have happened in the first place, mm-hmm. in my mind. I don't think that cops should, first, I think every cop should have to have a dash cam. I think that's a no fucking brainer. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Like, what, you got all this money, you have literal APCs, fucking crazy guns out the wazoo, and you don't have a, you can't do a dash cam?
You're right.
You fucking with me.
You got, like, what, a $5 billion police budget?
Exactly. Like, come on now. Come on now. You can do all these fancy fucking trainings where you go in and are flashbanging, like, innocent people, like, talking about the situation that happened out of prison. They were, like, training something for, like, hostage situations, mm-hmm. and the cops were just, like, flashbanging regular fucking people. You got all these fancy trainings that don't fucking do anything, because when cops need to, i.e. Uvalde, they're not going to, because they're scared little sissies.
They're scared. Like, all of these things happen because police get fucking scared.
No, like, yeah, and that's another point that I want to make.
You look like fucking military officers. Why are you afraid?
Yeah, either these specific things happen, like Jalen Walker happened, because cops are scared of black people, or they're power-hungry fucking psychos. Mm-hmm. Like, but back to what I was saying, every car should have a fucking dash cam, every cop car, right? And they should never be able to engage in a chase when someone's running from a traffic stop.
Yeah.
Because one, just having a traffic violation does not ever really constitute a present danger to the people around them.
Right.
Oh no, they were fucking speeding.
Faulty plates.
Oh no, their taillight was out. What the fuck are you going to do? That's not a danger to anybody. And if they're going to run, if you have a dash cam, you see their plates. Mm-hmm. You know what else you get with their plates? All the fucking information about them ever. You can just arrest them at a later date, and you can issue whatever punishment you needed to issue for, like, speeding, having a taillight out.
You can put a warrant out for their arrest. Yeah.
Plus an additional punishment, whatever, for running from the fucking cops. You can do that, and that is safer for everybody. Mm-hmm. You don't need to engage in a fucking highway chase that ends in somebody's death, because not only could it end in a situation like this, chases like that only endanger the public. Mm-hmm. The only people that are, like, in danger are the people, the bystanders, on the fucking highway. Uh-huh. I know it's cool in, like, the Batman, when Batman's chasing after Penguin, but if that happened in real life, that would be very bad.
No, yeah, I would be 100% against vigilantes like, in real life. Due process is very cool and good.
Like, Batman the movie? Fucks, right?
Yeah.
Real life, that shit would not fly. Yeah. It wouldn't. It wouldn't. For very clear fucking reasons. These high-speed cop chases only endanger other people. They only escalate the situation.
Yeah.
And these situations should be all about de-escalation. There are a bunch of police departments across the nation that have made it so that police can't engage in chases anymore. And it's strictly a good thing.
Uh-huh.
It's strictly a good thing.
I mean, every police department that has implemented changes that go along with the defund the police prescriptions... Mm-hmm. That have social workers that go out and deal with some calls that take some of the load off of police officers have seen amazing success.
Oh, absolutely.
Like, and it doesn't endanger the public in any kind of combat. It makes it safer for people, in mm-hmm. fact, because, you know, people that are pulling their pants up while they're fleeing from the police, or people that are just black while walking at night, aren't being executed randomly. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. And, like, you can't convince me that these kinds of things don't happen because our country was literally built on white supremacy.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I mentioned this with the shooter before, and you might be saying, like, well, he didn't have a manifesto. He wasn't, like, you don't know he's a white supremacist. And I don't know that he was. Mm-hmm. But the truth is that in this country, growing up with the culture that we have, with how ingrained white supremacy is, how weaved in it is with the fabric of our society, nobody can escape from it.
Absolutely.
It is
not.
Within almost every single institution that exists, especially the police, that mm-hmm. came out of slave patrols.
You have to actively deprogram yourself to uh-huh. stop believing in these things. Uh-huh. Like, that's kind of the reality of it. I don't mean to sound like too shit-libby, too like Robin DiAngelo-y, but mm-hmm. you do. You actively have to learn. You actually have to teach yourself the unlearn what you've learned with mm-hmm. regards to racism. Mm-hmm. That's just the fact of the matter.
Yeah. Yeah. Not great. Not great.
Not
in other
great.
Police brutality news, though, in New Mexico, I saw a headline that the police literally lit a kid on fire. So that's wild.
Wow.
And they're getting away with it. I don't know the full story here, but the headline that I saw, or the story that I saw, was basically that cops were chasing down, like, a bank robber, or not a bank robber, just someone who did a robbery.
Yeah.
Some thief. And they,
probably
I don't know, pinpointed some home. They were just tossing flashbangs in, and it started a house fire, and a kid died, 14 years old.
Aren't you not supposed to just fucking toss flashbangs into any regular place?
Police aren't supposed to kill people, you know?
That's true. What a crazy thing that police are supposed to do, though. I mentioned Jalen had 60 wounds, right, that killed him. I think people have said that they shot over 90 times, mm-hmm. 8 cops firing 12-round mags. That's police policy. Mm-hmm. Police policy is if you shoot your gun to fucking mag dump in a suspect. That's insane.
It's crazy.
That's insane.
And it's like, police do things here that would be considered war crimes, like in active combat zones.
Oh, yeah.
For the United States military.
Oh, yeah.
Like, tell me what, like, the United States, our military's done a bunch of terrible shit.
Not that they're really held accountable to a reasonable standard, but still.
We violate, like, international law all the fucking time. But, like, standing militaries are held more accountable than our police departments are. And that's wild, because they're killing American citizens.
Didn't we literally exempt ourselves from the Geneva Convention?
Yeah, I think so. We continuously vote against provisions that would restrict our military's ability to, like, you know, kill innocent people overseas. But even so, like, if you are, you know, go through a military trial and found to have been guilty, then you're dishonorably discharged. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That doesn't really happen to police officers.
Or you're pardoned by Donald Trump if you're a Blackwater guard.
True. If you're, like, a private militia or, like, a private mercenary, you can literally go sicko.
Yeah, if you're a PMC, you can do literally whatever the fuck you want.
That's pretty cool, though.
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah, that's actually, that's really great. Really great direction our country is going in.
Really great. Cops are awful. Justice for Jaylen. Another thing I do want to say about this is the, like, response afterwards. People are obviously protesting, rightfully so.
Yep.
That police department fucked up, put all 8 cops on administrative paid leave. You love to see it.
Right, what's the, they're getting paid for, it's just a vacation.
They literally get a vacation for killing somebody.
Uh-huh.
Insane. Yeah. You know what? You put them on not paid leave, and if you find out they didn't do anything wrong, then maybe you just give them back pay. Mm-hmm. That'd be at least somewhat of a positive change. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? But anyway, they decided to fucking taunt protesters. People were protesting outside the police precinct or, like, a police building, and they turned, like, all the lights on in the building and then had a floor just have blue lights on, and they made a fucking thin blue line.
Oh my God.
They made a fucking thin blue line run through it as they had cops in full out riot gear outside.
Bro, they had to have, like, installed those lights, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, they had to work to make that happen.
Yeah, no, literally.
It's disgusting.
They'd probably pay fucking taxpayer money to do that.
Yeah.
To fucking taunt the taxpayers where they just killed a member of their community.
Uh-huh.
You love to see it.
Wow, I really love when the police force just terrorizes the community and nobody can hold them accountable.
I also love how I'm pretty sure none of those protests turned violent. Fucking correct me if I'm wrong, whatever, even if it did, it probably wasn't anything meaningful. Oh no, property damage.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But they instituted like a 9 p.m. curfew.
Well, it's because violence on behalf of the police is a appropriate and justified response to property damage, but property damage is not an appropriate and justified response to police literally killing somebody.
Yeah, violence begets violence, but only when a minority does it and a cop kills them.
Uh-huh.
When a cop does violence against a minority, you just got to hold that L.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
Insane.
Yeah.
Fucking insane.
But, you know, our legal systems, our police infrastructures, all those are still very moral, very justified, and very politically acceptable.
Exactly.
And you shouldn't be upset about any of them, because any outcome that comes from our legal infrastructure is one that is justified.
In more really cool police news, in Arizona, they just passed a law that made it so that if you're within 8 feet of a cop doing, like, a fucking crime scene thing, arresting somebody, you can't record them. It is now illegal to record a cop within 8 feet. There's exceptions for, like, if you're in a vehicle or in a confined space where you can't get 8 feet away and you're recording your own, like, investigation or whatever, but that's not real.
Yeah.
That's not real. Cops are just gonna lie. Like, what if you're fucking recording a cop who's doing, like, an active police brutality, right? And there are a bunch of cops around him, and then the cop locks eyes with you, sprints at you.
Yeah,
he just starts fucking running at you.
Out.
He just starts running at you, bam, within 8 feet, you're arrested.
You just did
a crime.
You're on the ground being tased.
You just did an illegal.
Uh-huh.
That's because there are also, like, provisions in the law that say if a cop starts walking towards you, you gotta walk back.
Uh-huh.
So now what? Can cops just set up fucking perimeters to where you just can't see anything going in?
Arizona is going nuts, right now.
That is insane.
That, with and plus the innocence isn't enough ruling that they ensured would happen through the Supreme Court.
They literally tried so hard for that to happen too. Shout out that episode, you should go listen to it. I think it's a pretty good one.
Uh-huh.
They also passed another provision making it so that like accountability boards have to be made up of members of the same department. Fucking defeats the whole entire purpose of police accountability. Like, you can't fucking make this shit up. Aaron Sorkin couldn't write this. You know what I mean?
It's like, during the Nuremberg trials, they should have had some SS officers when they were prosecuting. Right?
A jury of your own peers.
Yeah,
that's what it means.
A jury of your peers. A jury of people that just will not rule against you. You know what I mean? Because their interests are not aligned in actually finding justice. They want to protect their own.
Yeah, that doesn't happen, though.
Yeah.
That's not true.
It's just fucking insane. I will never understand why conservatives that claim to love freedom, claim to love liberation, liberty, and your civil rights, will ever support police officers.
Like, I just don't understand how anyone in their right mind could take a cop with a fucking Punisher sticker on his car and put him on an accountability board.
Right.
The fuck?
Freedom, though.
Freedom.
Well, we all know that America's pretty fucked. We all know that America's struggling right now.
Apparently the world is struggling.
But I think it's time to go international with some of our coverage.
That's right, baby. Number one geopolitics podcast. We're back.
We're back. We got to talk about two cases, two separate things that happened to two prime ministers recently.
Hey, yo.
First one, in some wild news, the former prime minister of Japan, Shinzo Abe, was assassinated during a speech. Which is fucking insane. He was shot by what appears to be a homemade gun, because in Japan they have very strict gun laws.
Yeah.
It's not very easy to get a gun in Japan. But yeah, he was assassinated, so that's crazy.
That is crazy. I saw a lot of people popping off on Twitter. The memes were fucking crazy. I saw this one. This shit was vile. Somebody said, Japan, one gun, one dead politician. America, like fucking 40 billion guns.
Holy shit.
I said, fuck.
You can't even repeat that on the pod.
Literally.
Wow, I saw a lot of people, because Shinzo Abe was a very,
nationalist.
Staunch. Yeah, he was a nationalist. He was a very staunch defender of everything Japan did, all the war crimes Japan committed during World War II. In fact, he would deny that they ever happened.
Which his grandpa was actively, like, one of the main guys. He was a huge general in Japan committing actual war crimes.
Yeah.
And he was a known war crime defender. And being a nationalist in Japan is fucking insane considering their history.
Yeah, and I saw some people just saying, like, yeah, I deny this ever happened. Uh-huh. His assassination.
Because people were popping off.
He repeatedly has denied war crimes to happen. Yeah, not a good guy at all.
Yeah, no.
Pretty awful. But it's funny to see, you know, people like Joe Biden going, like, well, I wish the best to his family. He was a great man. I loved working with him. Great. Absolutely great. So that's some crazy news out of Japan.
Yeah.
They still have a prime minister. He was former prime minister, but yeah.
Facts. Obviously, I don't condone anybody dying.
Yeah, of course.
Goddamn, that one fucking me.
We strictly condone anybody being killed through any means
of
violence.
We strictly condone?
Yeah.
Okay.
We strictly condone. Condemn people. You know what I meant. In some UK news, though.
Okay, all right. Let's head across the pond.
Moving away from violence, Boris Johnson has officially resigned as Prime Minister of the UK after some controversy finally got to him.
That shit hit me like a Mack truck. I just woke up one day and all of a sudden he resigned and I had no idea what
I
was going on.
I woke up in tears, bro. I was fucking, I could feel it. Something in the ether was
wrong.
Not Boris,
bro. I'm going to miss his hair.
I know.
God.
I'm going to miss him in his cool hair.
He's such a cutie pie.
Anyways, the reason that Boris stepped down is he was already a controversial figure, had a lot of controversies. His own party didn't really like him.
Yeah.
Apparently in other countries, if your party doesn't like you, they actually hold you accountable, which is crazy.
That's insane.
But what seems to be the straw that broke the camel's back here is that information broke out that Boris Johnson recently hired someone that he knew had credible claims of sexual assault against them.
He just hired somebody who had credible. He didn't even like do the sexual assault. There weren't even like credible claims against him.
Against Boris Johnson?
Yeah.
No, it was that he hired someone that he knew had sexual assault allegations against them. And that seemed to be the last thing that like got because what explicitly happened specifically was that people found out about this, and then everybody in his like cabinet started to resign, so he couldn't form a government. He had no choice but to step down.
Holy shit!
Yeah,
holy shit!
And I can't help but note that it's kind of crazy that other countries, other politicians, like care about sexual assault. Because in America, if you sexually assault someone, you get like elected.
You
to
get
president.
The presidency.
Yeah.
You can sexually assault. What is it like 30 women?
Yeah.
And then fucking win the presidency.
Or like your party protects you. You know what
yeah,
I mean?
Like
they
just
they bury that.
Just brush it all under the club. You can sex traffic a 17-year-old. Shout out Matt Gaetz.
Uh-huh.
You can do all this. You can fuck minors. You can have crazy orgies. Shout out other guy, Matthew Cawthorn.
Uh-huh. Madison Cawthorn.
Yeah. And just nobody says anything.
Yeah.
Nobody fucking cares.
I mean, rip our boy Madison Cawthorn. He got done wrong.
That's true. Bro got put in a pack. He got put on a t-shirt. Too bad. Oh, we should have put him on one of our t-shirts.
Oh, we should just put his face on our t-shirt.
Shit.
Yeah. But yeah, Boris resigned. And apparently the UK cares about sexual assault.
I just can't imagine a conservative party caring about that. Obviously they should. Obviously that's a good thing that they do care about that. It's just in the context of American politics, we are so far gone.
Yeah.
There's probably no saving us.
I mean, I remember seeing this one video a long time ago of somebody
reading off a policy platform from like some random party that they found, right?
Yeah.
And they were saying all these like progressive things like, you know, protect national health care.
Oh, no.
Invest in so-and-so, you know, just all kinds of good reforms that we would be supportive of. And then they were like,
I hate black people.
No. And then they were like, this is the Tories platform. And it's like,
come on.
That's what I said. They're like, do you want to hear some progressive reforms that are happening in Europe? And then they listed it all and they said, this is the Tories. And I was like, bro, I was crying.
That's the type of shit that would bring a tear to my eye.
Uh-huh. Like, there's no denying that Boris is fucking awful, you know, xenophobic, hates immigrants, like friends all that with kind Trump of thing. Yeah, shit. Not great. But it is just crazy to see how different the Overton window is
like
across
even,
the pond.
Even our, quote, good party, the Democrats, we had to fight to get Andrew Cuomo to resign.
Yeah.
And bro actually did it.
And, like, Nancy Pelosi and Joe Biden didn't condemn him right away.
No,
it took a while.
They actually fucking did it. And that's, like, the good party. That's, like, the Me Too party.
Uh-huh.
We've lost the fucking plot.
I know,
dog. We've lost
so bad.
The plot.
Anyway, yeah, Boris is gone, or he's not gone yet. He's resigned, and he's going to be there until their parliament elects a new prime minister. But, yeah, some international news for you at the end of the pod.
Exactly.
Uh-huh.
That's crazy.
Well, I think that sums it up for this episode.
It does.
Hopefully it wasn't too awful for you. Feels good to be back in the stew after a little bit of a hiatus.
It does. You know, for all our wonderful patrons, we'll be back on Sunday for a regular early episode for y'all. Uh-huh. Hint, hint.
Yeah, exactly. All y'all got to go check out the Patreon right now. Facts. In fact, we're about to shout out our loyal patrons.
Oh, you could be just like these.
You could be just
angel
like
investors.
These people. So we got to give a special thanks to Cricket Scrapbook Layouts, Nikki Nine Lives, Caden Kraut, Lord T, Chris the Postman, Christy Beck, Talia Katz, 40% Spite, Andrew Harris, Mike Chaplinsky, Mattias T, John G, The B-Plot, Omar Zuno, Clayton Lafort, Ash Fairblood, Mark Yeager, Sarah McRoberts, Derek Messina, Dylan B, Satan's Menstrual Cycle, The Mind Sculptors, Kaz, Caleb Joy, Jim Bobs, Carl D, Rich Toro, Tari, Gavin Meyer, Maldonado, Hunter W, Fergalaki, Max Vasquez, Jacob Rogers, Colton Mooberry, Fixer Punk, and Milkman LOLs, yo. I don't know how to pronounce that.
That's okay.
And my mom.
Let's go.
Thank you all for supporting the show on Patreon. We appreciate you all. Remember, if you're listening right now, even if you're not a patron, go check out headintheoffice.com. We got merch.
Fair, go
that
for
is still
it.
On sale.
If you're so
go
inclined.
Check it out. Get in on Coordinated Drip Campaign Volume 1. And thanks for listening.
Have a great week.